Praise 'cause you're sovereign. Praise 'cause you're With every breath that I Father, we sing of your goodness, not just by faith, but by experience. Your goodness is revealed in us and through us at all times. And today we testify that the work of your Spirit in us is extraordinary. Indeed, it is supernatural. For in our own strength and our own abilities, we cannot walk and do and live in the fullness of that which you have for us. It is by your grace. It is by your mercies. And Lord, today, we want to say thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We say thank you. For your peace which passes all understanding, we say thank you. For the grace to say, surely the goodness and the mercies of the Lord shall abide in my life, we say thank you. For we dwell in your presence, we abide in your presence, we are fulfilled in your presence, and today we denounce, we reject, we separate ourselves from every parasite of the Spirit. We separate ourselves from everything that is unlike you. We separate ourselves from the foolishness of this world, and we cleave unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith, our God, who reigns forever and is forever good. Blessed be your holy name, Most High. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. It is good to have you this evening. I will say this tonight. I'll encourage everyone to please go back to the service this morning and reflect on what we talked about over and over again. Chew on it. It is extremely important that you embrace the word that we had this morning. And every message is very important. But there are certain things, certain keys. The word of God tells us about the keys of the kingdom. And that message this morning is part of that, part of the keys of the kingdom, in recognizing that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's important. Amen? Hallelujah. And tonight, I want to continue from where I stopped this morning. So this message tonight is going to be very important. You need to know this word. And my prayer is that the Lord helps me get across in a very clear manner what we are talking about tonight. This is extremely important. Someone say, extremely important. Say it again, extremely important. Say to yourself, you've got to get this message. Let me say, oh, your goose is cooked. You got to get this. Okay? It's extremely important. Okay, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4. This is where you relax a little bit. What beverage does God like? No? Coffee. Because he brews. Yeah. All right. Verse 1, Hebrews 4. Let us therefore fear. Oh. Well, the word of God says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. But God here says, let us therefore fear. Fear what? Lest a promise, a commitment, being present tense continuous, left us of entering into his rest. This is a promise. You're going to enter into my rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. So there is a promise of a rest. And says, you need to fear that you don't miss this. That any of you should seem to come short of it. It didn't just say should come short of it. It says seem. Just the fact that it seems like you came short of it, your goose is cooked. It will be shocking to many hearing me tonight that this is a very important word, because the provision for you and I coming into the rest of God is already taken care of. And there's something that you and I need to do to tap into it. And there is something we must not do that will cause us to fall short of it. So let's go further. He says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. There was a gospel that was preached to us and was preached to other people, meaning Old Testament saints and different ones. God said to them, I have a land for you. It's a promised land. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. And it is yours. Just go take it. Go take it. And they did not. Most of the land that God promised them has not been taken. If you were to look at the land God promised them, it covers a vast space, not that little space called Israel today. And even that, they did not. Some of the tribes did not take it. It was not because God didn't make the provision, but because they thought, watch this, they thought that their ability to take that land was based on their ability or their strength. And so they measured themselves in comparison to the people in the land and says, those people, they have all this stuff and all this weaponry and on so on and so forth. We can't take it. But it was theirs to take. We can't. It's impossible for us to do it. Well, God said, it's yours. I've given it to you. All you need to do is just believe me and step into the land. Wherever your steps, is yours. The battle is the Lord's. I want you to come to that place of rest. So the word of God preached to them did not profit them, not been mixed with faith in them that heard it. It was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. It was not mixed with faith to them that heard it. Now that's interesting. What do you mean was not mixed with faith? The word of God says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith is present. So what is it that they did not mix with faith? Your obedience to the word of God is of utmost importance. Obeying God. Some say, obeying God. The demonstration of your faith is in your obedience. If you believe God, you trust God, you obey God. Hallelujah. Your obedience is your worship. Your obedience is your surrender to God. Your obedience brings you to rest. Let's go further. I will explain myself even more. Verse 3 says, for we which have believed, every one of us that has believed, do enter into rest. You enter into rest because you believed. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. So when God finished everything, the Bible says he rested. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, if they shall enter into my rest. So he says, since therefore it remained that some must enter therein, some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. The rest was available, and basically what God was saying to us right from the very first book is this, that God rested from all of his labors, and if you created in his image and likeness, you also rest from all of your labors. Okay, I know we're just starting, but you get it. Hallelujah. He says, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. So there's an if. Since therefore it remained that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limited a certain day. He set a certain day, saying in David, today. So I said, today. One more time, say it again. Today. After so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So when is it that I need to step into the rest of God? Today. By believing God today. like right now, choosing to believe. Now, my choosing to believe, how to have faith, how does that work? It works based on the fact that faith is not a product from you. You don't produce faith. God produces faith. He brings faith into your life when you hear His voice. Faith comes in the package. Praise the Lord. Faith comes in the package. And Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So it's not my faith. It's the faith of the Son of God, who did what? Loved me and gave Himself for me. So now I need to embrace that love of God, which the Word of God says has been shared abroad in our hearts. So God has provided whatever it is that I need to come into this rest, even the ability to believe. So my faith is based on my agreement. Someone say agreement. My agreement with what God said. So I agree with God. God says, this is black. I say, yes, it's black. Even though I'm looking at it and it looks like it's purple, I say, okay, I don't believe my lying eyes. I believe what He said. And would you know it? It is black. Because God sees better than I do. Amen? He sees water and He says, that's wine. Go argue with him. It's wine. And somebody's going to be saying, how come you brought the best wine now? God moves in a realm that is altogether supernatural, but it is not supernatural to Him. It is supernatural to me, but to God, it's not supernatural. Praise the Lord. God does miracles, but to Him, it's not a miracle. It's a miracle to me, because I understand how it happened. Wow, that's a miracle. God doesn't say, wow, that's a miracle. Because He's made us partakers of His divine nature. Praise the Lord. He says, for if Jesus had given them rest, if he had given them rest, then would He not afterward have spoken of another day? So it means then that the rest given that's available is given to a certain group of people. It is there. And talking about another day is an act of mercy. Another chance. I give you another chance to hear my word. I give you another chance to listen to what I say. I give you another chance to obey me. I give you another chance. So he says, today, while you're hearing the voice of God, take it now. Because you don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. You don't. None of us has a guarantee of tomorrow. You only have this now. And this now, it's important for you and I to obey God. Well, I will do it tomorrow. No. They say, tomorrow never comes. If you're a procrastinator in obeying the instructions of God, you're playing Russian roulette. You understand? There might just be a bullet in that chamber, and you're playing games. And so many people play games. They're not serious with their faith. They're not serious. They're not serious because they don't understand that for you to rest in God for all eternity, you have to have the certificate of rest. Huh? You have to have the badge of rest that you have received it. And when you show up before him, you show him the certificate. I am qualified to come in to rest. You don't have your certificate of rest, your goose is cooked. Sorry. But I've been fasting. I've been praying. That is not the rest. The rest is believing the finished work of Jesus Christ plus nothing. He paid the price before the foundations of the world. The work was finished. It is done. I receive the finished work of Jesus Christ. And whatever it is that I'm doing in acts of obedience, I'm doing not to add to what God has done, but to know that as a son, as a daughter, delivered, set free, redeemed, saved, I have a new nature. And whatever it is I'm doing now is based on my new nature, not me trying to make it. I'm not trying to make it to heaven. You know why? I died with him. I rose again from the dead with him. I ascended with him. I am seated in heavenly places with him in Christ Jesus. So I'm not looking forward to heaven. I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. I'm not trying to get there. I'm there. That is resting. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to make it to heaven if I fast for 40 days and 40 nights. That's how I'm going to make it. No. You're not going to make it that way. You have to die with him to rise again with him. And how do you believe that? You believe that he said that in Christ, you died with him. You were with him. Guess what? He went to hell. So I already went to hell. Not going back. Praise the Lord. Are we together? That is the rest that you need to receive in your life. I'm not trying to be anything. I am that I am in him. Blessed and highly favored. Bad things are happening. I say I'm blessed and highly favored. Good things are happening. I say I'm blessed and highly favored. You just receive what God said. Hallelujah. Let's go. Let's go deeper. So there's a certain day that he set out. And that certain day is today, as after so long a time, as it is said today, if ye will hear, if ye will hear, if ye will hear, if ye will hear his voice, if you'll pay attention to his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There is rest available to the people of God. You mean they are people of God and they've not tapped into that rest? Absolutely. There's so many who are trying to get themselves saved. Now, He says in verse 10, "For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." You cease from your own works, just like God. You believe that God has finished it. You rely on his finished work, and you continue in that grace. Now, does that mean that there is no sense of failing, that you will never sin, you will never do anything wrong? No, but this is also true. If we say that we've not sinned, we're not walking in the truth. We're not telling the truth. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if I mess up, I repent. I confess. I cry out to God. But resting in God also means that his ability works in me and through me, that I'm not struggling to be something that I am already. I am, he says, "Be ye holy, for I'm holy." Right? That's God's word. God says, "Be ye holy." So when do I become holy? When he said it. Just like he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So when God says, "Be ye holy," I don't say, "I'm only human." I say, "I'm holy. I'm holy. God's word says I'm holy. He has given to me the gift of righteousness." So what do I say? I am righteous. The devil says, "But you just messed up. Thank you for letting me know about that. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for deliverance. I thank you that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." In Christ Jesus, I am righteous. Now, let me go to verse 11, and I'm going to take you somewhere else. It says, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest." You need to labor to enter into that rest, "lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." God says to us that the reason that we don't get into that rest is because of our unbelief. Okay. And we need to labor to enter into that rest. Now, I've been saying it is not by my works, it's not this or of that. Now, let's now begin to explore what God says to us about laboring to enter into that rest. Because it has to do with my thinking. By me shutting down the agenda of the enemy. The devil came and he tempted Jesus, trying to cause Jesus, our Lord, to deny what God said to him. God said at his baptism, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Yes? And the devil says to him, first temptation, "If ye be the Son of God, turn these stones and make them bread." Wow, that's easy. Stone, be bread. And the stone would have become bread. But guess what would have happened? Jesus would not have believed what the Father said about him. Because believing what the Father said about him did not need works. It just needed him accepting what the Father said about him. Hello? Are we together? This is what the Father said about me. I am his son, and he's well pleased with me. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So he just accepting what the Father said to him about him, agreeing with that word, embracing that word, was faith in action. Therefore, he did not need to prove anything. All he needed to do is just believe what the Father said. Mind you, Jesus had not healed one sick person yet. No blind eyes open yet. No deaf hearing yet. No crippled people walking yet. No dead raised yet. But God was very pleased with him. Based on what? Based on the fact that God just decided, I'm pleased with you. And that's what God says about you and I. I'm pleased with you. How can you be pleased with me? I've not done anything yet. Oh, yes. I have faith inside of you. You are going to obey my word, and you're going to do what I say, and you are going to be a light in this world. And darkness is going to be dispelled because of your presence, because of my glory in you. Do you believe that? That's all God is asking. For you and I to just believe what he says. He says, by his stripes you were healed. So what do I say? I am the healed of the Lord. That's what I should say. I am the blessed of the Lord. I'm growing in wisdom. I'm growing in stature. I'm growing in favor with God and with men. Why do you say that? Because Jesus, in whom I live, is all of that. So because of him. Now come with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to take it up from verse 7. There's so much in there. But verse 10, I want to go as far as verse 10 and then start migrating lower. He says, Jesus made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of his servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So this is God being made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself as a man and became what? Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him who humbled himself as a man, and giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. So in all spheres, in the heavenly sphere, in the earthly sphere, and under the earth, in all realms. He says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Oh, shikalabatosikaye. Another day. The word of God says, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Should tells me that there are times when there is a resistance to the command to bow. And that I, as an enforcer of the Word of God, should now command that which is resisting the authority of God to bow. And when issues stand before us in challenge, we are not the ones who quit and say it's not working. When I know what the Word of God says, that this is supposed to work, I keep on keeping on hammering against that principality, that power, that rule of the darkness of this world, that spiritual wickedness, and saying to it, you bow. You know what you got to do. Do it now. Do it now. Fire on you. Torment on you right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rain hell on you right now. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you must bow. You must bow. And you know what? The Bible says, resist the devil, and what will he do? He'll flee. He must bow. That circumstance must bow. It may be standing challenging you, but you must resist it and enforce the Word of God. And say, in every realm, you don't have a place. You must bow. I am an enforcer. When the cop is trying to arrest a convict or a criminal, sometimes the criminal tries to resist. So he enforces his authority. But whatever it is he's got, to make certain that that man, that woman, that boy, that girl is subject to that authority. You and I must know the Word of God, what God's Word says. And what God says is what you enforce. You don't enforce your own will. You enforce the will of the Father in the earth as it is in heaven. So he says to us, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy reign come. Thy will be done here in the earth as it is in heaven. Because the will of God in heaven is perfect. There's no problems there. And what God wants me to do is to bring that will of the Father in the heavens to the earth realm. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Jesus, our Lord, will go and he will pray, seeking the face of God and crying out to God and saying, Father, what is it that you want done today? The Lord, God Almighty, will open his eyes. He sees what he's supposed to do. This is your assignment today. There's going to be a blind man today. There's a man who's been sitting by a pool of Bethesda for 38 years. I want you to go down there. That guy is going to be stubborn. He's going to be telling you all kinds of stories. Just raise him up. I'm tired of that guy being in that place. Get him out of there. And so Jesus will go there. Do you want to get well? Nobody's here helping me. When I try to go, blah, 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 blah. Just carry your bed and go home. just go. That was the will of the Father. And he was enforcing it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go deeper in Philippians. Verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, watch that word, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I thought we're not supposed to work out our salvation. No, the way you work it out is by obeying the Word of God. Whatever it is God said, that's how you work it out, with fear and trembling. That's why it says in Hebrews 4, it says, fear that having been given this, you fall short of it. Obey the instruction. For it is God, watch this now, this work. He says, for it is God which what? Worketh in you. You know, this labor to make sure that you do everything okay, it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. This is God doing it. It is not done by your might or by your power, but by the Spirit of God, the Word of God. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Yeah? Remember when we talked about confession? We talked about confession and the word homologia, which means to say the same thing. That the way that you and I become what God says is by us saying what God said. You don't get delivered by saying, I'm going to try harder. I know I have an elbow problem. I'm always drinking. I am going to stay away from the bar. I'm going to stay away from the liquor store. I'm going to leave this city and go to another city. Guess what? When you arrive there, you will be there. You and your elbow problem, you will be there. You and your marijuana problem, you will be there. In fact, when you arrive, other people that have the same problem will seek you out and find you. Say, I'm in Morocco, for goodness sakes. Yes, even in Morocco. I'm in Timbuktu. Yes, even in Timbuktu. Oh my God, I thought I left Russia and vodka and I came over here to Trinidad. It will find you there. The only way to experience the freedom of God is for you to speak what God says. You say what God said. And say, God, you are working it out in me to bring about that which is your will and that which is of good pleasure to you. My life is going to be a testimony, a testament of your awesome power. Hallelujah. He says, so do all things without murmurings and disputing. Stop arguing. Just get things done. Why? That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. How? Holding forth the word of life. That's how you do this. This is how you labor to come into the rest of God. You're holding forth the word of life. So that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, which is the day of rest. That I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. How do we rest? We rejoice in God. I remember many years ago, I had received the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior. And there were pastors who will interview you and see whether you were really serious with your faith. And I came. I'm seated before them, and I'm just a happy camper. I'm just so excited and happy. And they rebuked me. They said, be serious. You're too happy. you're too happy. Be serious. You should be crying or something. I said, I'm happy because I'm forgiven. I just get out of here. You know those people that were interviewing me? Sorry to say, I'm not saying this is why. They were not much older than me in real terms. They're dead. Long time ago. I'm still here. Still a happy camper. Knowing that my rest is in God, that He has provided the rest already. And all I am doing is walking the walk of faith. Just recognizing that God is my keeper. Children don't worry about food when they have parents around. Let the parents do the worrying. They come, I want to eat. Don't you know I lost my job? They don't know anything about losing your job. I like a toy. When I go to stores, I just crack up little children, you know, grabbing stuff, and the parent doesn't have the money to buy that. No, you can't have that. You can. And it's not because whatever it is they're looking for is bad, but just simply because. I can't afford it. They don't know anything about I can't afford it. And God wants you and I to trust Him the same way. God, this is what I want. I receive it. I celebrate by receiving of this. I testify that you're an awesome God who's loved me with an everlasting love. Thank you, Jesus, for giving it to me. Amen. And go on your merry way. Trust Him. Now, I say go on your merry way, trust Him. But I should qualify that going on my merry way, trust Him. Because when you ask God for something, you must recognize that He's a God who also speaks. And that there might just be a way He wants to manifest that thing in your life. And what He needs you to do to receive what you are asking Him for. Because whatever it is you're asking Him for, He knows where it is. And He may say, go to that cupboard there, or to that drawer, pull out that drawer, and I have what you want in that drawer. Or, this is good, this is good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. A very wealthy man was asked by his son for some money, large sum of money. So the father certifies a check for $1 million for that son, puts it inside the Bible. And while the son is asking for this $1 million, he gave him the Bible. Are you with me? The man lived, died, and the son never opened that Bible, and he thought that his father was a mean jerk. He doesn't love, he doesn't care. I asked him, he had all the money, and he didn't give me a dime. But the father had given him what he needed. It was inside the Bible. And if he had only opened the Bible, he would have seen that his father was not a mean jerk. The father was a provider. God provides for you and I. But He may not tell you where He put it. But wherever it is that He has put it might be the place of your victory. Now, God, You're asking God for something, crying out to God for something, and God answers your prayer, but he gives you the answer, and it's in the hands of somebody that you have decided to hate. And God says, go to John and just say, I forgive you. Oh, no, not going to do that. Now, I'm never going to do that. Oh, no, never, never, never. You want what you are asking for? It's in you giving, extending forgiveness to that person. And so you live your life, never forgive, and you don't get the answer that you're looking for. But what did the Word of God say? He says, forgive so that you can be forgiven. Will you obey that word? Will you do that? Now let's go back to Hebrews. We know from from Philippians that labor is in our obedience to the Word of God, that labor is in what God is doing in us and through us. He's willing it. He's bringing it to pass. And let's begin to wrap. I pray that you're getting something out of this. Hebrews 4. Verse 11 again. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick. It's powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Where did this verse come from? Why is it there? We're talking about rest, rest, rest. Now, the word of God is quick. What is the connection? Everything. Everything. The Word of God. This morning we talked about the the reward of diligence. And that sometimes delays are God's way of getting you to get what you need. Now, this is a verse that is telling us, listen, yes, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But you know what? My word is quick. Which means you need to be quick in your obedience. And by the way, I want you to understand that you can't fool me. That's what it's saying. You can't fool me by mouthing off some nice confessions here, but your heart is not in agreement with what you're saying. You can't fool me because I can see your heart, brother. I can see whether you are truly connected to me or just playing games. The word of God is quick. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the divine and sound of soul and spirit. And for it to say that, because it's very difficult to separate soul and spirit. Anybody who tells you that they can define what soul and spirit is, yes, we say the soul is the mind, the will, the intellect, and whatever else. Yes, that's very good. And what is the spirit? Is it not still connected to the soul? Well, the spirit is the breath of God that he put inside of you that made you a living soul. Praise the Lord. It made you a living soul. It connected you with God. And God, he says, and of the joints and marrow. And it's a discern of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows the intents of your heart. Whether you're trying to work out your own salvation by doing works, or you are surrendered to Him and letting Him work it out through you. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. His eyes are open. He sees everything. So you can't fool God. You can't go hide inside a closet and do something crazy inside a closet and think because nobody saw you that you are not very obvious to God. God sees everything. Go hide inside the deepest cave. God sees through. So, what are we doing trying to fool God? You think if you fool me, you're fooling God? Oh, Pastor, I love you. I love you with all my heart. I'm standing with you. I'm praying for you. And God is looking at you. You lying dog. You're not praying for Him. You're cursing Him. And you're telling Him that, you know that people do that. They lie to your face. They smile. And in their heart, they hate you. God says, I see all of that. So don't play games with me. Don't play games. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, watch this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's saying to us, listen. Seeing that, verse 14 again, sin, go back to 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our what? Profession, our confession. Hold fast to it. Keep on saying what He said, because He is the great high priest and He has sprinkled the blood, and your sins are not just covered, they are remitted away from you. You are a new creation. It says, for we have this high priest, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We don't have this high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What is he saying? He's saying, listen, I've been through it. I was tempted and I did not blow it, but I know the power of temptation. Huh? He says, I know exactly what you're going through. He says, yes, you've been tempted in all kinds of ways. He says, I went through it and without sin. So will you believe me that I can help you go through all the temptations and you show up on the other side without sin? For he that is born of God sinneth not. Oh, that's a powerful word. You know why we sin? Disobedience. God says, don't do that. I said, don't do that. And like little kids, say, don't touch that. Go and touch it. Well, God is saying to us, hey, don't touch that. Trust me. Now, this next verse is so powerful. Let us therefore come boldly onto the throne of what? Grace. I know your weakness. Maybe you've blown it. Maybe you did not. But this I want you to do. Either way, come boldly onto the throne of grace. What is grace? Grace is the enablement of God. God, I need strength. I need grace. I need your power. I messed up. I need your power. He says, come to that throne of grace that we may obtain what? Mercy. God wants you and I to come to that throne of grace and obtain the mercy of God. And when you have that mercy, he says, you will find grace to help in the time of need. So if you face that challenge again, now that you've come, received mercy, you're going to receive grace to be able to resist the enemy. And your ability to resist the enemy is not in your ability, it is in the ability of grace working in you and through you. We are saved by grace through what? Faith. Is that what the Word of God teaches us? It is not by your works. It is by your trust and your rest. You and I need to rest in the finished work of the Lord. That's how we make it. Or else you're going to be trying in your own ability and you're going to be tripping all over yourself day in, day out and be so proud that you did it. And guess what God hates the most? Pride. So we start with humility and say, God, I cannot do it without you. So today, as I wake up from sleep, I'm going to face all kinds of things, things I know about, things I don't know. I need your help. Help me. Thank you, Lord, that I will accomplish everything you have for me this day. This day that you have made for me to rejoice and be glad. I'm going to rejoice and be glad this day. So now send now prosperity, good success. Do you receive that word? Then shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Amen. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the transformative workings of grace. We come to you this day declaring, Father, have your way. Have your way in us. Do extraordinary things with our lives. Father, we believe you. We know, God, that without you we can do nothing. But with you, we can do all things. For you are the God who wills and the God who does, that which is your good pleasure in us and through us. So have your way, Father. Blessed be your holy name. We give you praise for all things. We celebrate, O God, your faithfulness. And we thank you, Lord, that your faith is working in us and through us. So, Father, we'll receive all that you have for us today. There are still things that you have ordained for us to have today that we may not have received yet, that we may not have stepped into yet. This very moment, we say, Lord, let everything that you ordained to happen for us today happen now. We receive your manifold blessings in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, at this time we will honor God with our giving, our tithes, our offerings, vows, first fruits, whatever God has spoken for you to do, just do it. It is important that we do so, for that's how God blesses us in our obedience. He says, obedience is better than sacrifice. If God says to you, give $10 and you're given $5, you're not walking in obedience. If he says to you, give $1,000 and you give $500, you're not walking in obedience. Whatever it is he's asked you to do, just do that. He knows why he's asking you to do it. Amen? And it is through his ability that he gets you to do it. I remember when the Lord said, you know, this tithing thing that you're doing, that's not what I want for you. I want you to listen to me, hear my voice, and do exactly what I said. And I started obeying God. It was a stretch. And then he doubled it. And that was a stretch. And said, I'm still earning the same amount of money. How am I going to do that? Will you obey me? Yes, sir. And he gave me a minimum. This is the amount minimum you give to me. And that means not just here at this church, wherever you go for church service. If you have a 21-day service, that minimum is what you give. I say, what? He said, that's what I'm asking you for. You know what? All these years, I've been able to fulfill that, not in my ability, but because he said, and he finds a way to get it to me to give to him. Praise the Lord. And I will never be broke ever in my life because I'm obeying by his strength, by his grace, what he said. Amen? So today I challenge you, just trust God. Amen? Just trust God. He'll find a way to bring things your way. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, before we head out, let's say hello to those on Zoom, and we'll cut off from those that are on YouTube and Facebook. Oh, by the way, there's no Wednesday Bible studies until September, but prayer meetings stay on. If you want to keep on doing the Bible studies, just go online. You'll find out on our app, messages on our studies through the book of Proverbs. We've been going through the book of Proverbs now for about 2 years, and we just finished the 14th chapter. And that is just scraping through the surface. That's a book that every one of us need to read and study. Amen? So back in September, we'll do that again. So here we are. Brother John, bless you.